Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue in our current series of studies, The Goodness of God. We read in the second chapter of Romans, verse 4, this theme verse for our studies in the goodness of God. You'll know why in just a moment. We have repeated it before, but some may have tuned in today for the first time. Here it is. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The goodness of God is quoted here, and we have chosen that as our title of this series, The Goodness of God, and we have seen during our progress thus far through the studies, we see that the goodness of God is recalled to our minds by way of remembrance. It's a matter of history. God has been good to his people. And we certainly do remember that he indeed expresses his goodness toward us. Now let's think of the message for today, the remembrance of our former deliverances of the Lord. And we're going to go back to the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel, when that great prophet deals with Israel about their waywardness in worshiping idols. We read there in verse 3 of the 7th chapter, 1 Samuel, And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it upon the ground, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And pouring that water on the ground was symbolic of their weakness. But now, in verse 7 we read, And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And then the children of Israel heard it. When the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said unto Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering with his prayer, the burnt offering often accompanied prayer in Israel's day, the Philistines drew near against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. Now this thunder was a miracle of God. And he sent a terrible thunderstorm. Now, when an army is out in the field is a wrong place to be when lightning is striking. And it completely disturbed the Philistines to the extent that they just lost their heads. They just lost their reason, and they were smitten before Israel. They fled, and Israel took over and smote them. And the children of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Beth Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now this stone was a monument to call to mind to the children of Israel that God is their helper. Samuel took the stone as a monument to recall the goodness of God in delivering them from the Philistines. And he called the name of it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. Now I'm taking this portion to introducing this portion to our thinking to say that you and I have our Ebenezers as well. We can mark off times in our lives when God has come to our rescue. Now, there are other places in the Old Testament where God has the children of Israel erect monuments. I'm thinking of the time when Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan River. They came up on the east side of the Jordan and were going into the promised land. And the Jordan at that season of the year was flooded, but they had to get across it. And the Lord told Joshua, gave him his marching orders, and he says, now the priests will carry the that wonderful piece of furniture, which was called the Ark. And the Lord told Joshua, now when they come to the river, when those that bear the ark come to the river and put their feet in the river, the waters will be cut off. And you know they did it. As soon as they dipped their feet in that river, the water ceased. And the ark went down into the bed of that river, and the priest stood there holding the ark right in one spot, and the children of Israel passed through that Jordan at flood stage, if you please, without getting their feet wet. And then when the children of Israel passed over, now the Lord told Joshua, he says, take 12 men and take 12 stones out of the bed of that river and erect a monument to me. And when your children in the future ask you, what means this monument? What means these stones? You'll tell them the story how God delivered them in his own goodness. Now he gave Joshua more instructions. He says, now take 12 stones out of the bed of the river and erect them down in the bed of the river for a monument. And when the priests are, when that is done, you come up out of the river and the river will flow back into its banks. They did that. And those stones were left there to this day, according to the scriptures. They never moved them. Now that is very typical. Though those stones that were in the bottom of the river speak of our Lord Jesus Christ being inundated, if I may use that term, under the judgment of God. We read in Psalm 69 and 1, that wonderful psalm that speaks of the sufferings of Christ. We read there Christ's own words, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. These are the floods of the wrath of God, that tide, that tremendous flood of judgment that was your due and my due. And then those 12 stones in the monument on the west side of the Jordan, near Gilgal, those stones represented you and me. And people look at you and me. We got through safely. Christ endured the wrath. And that is typical of that tremendous experience. Now, we can think of other memorials, and that was established for a memorial, and established for the children, and they would realize the goodness of God bringing them into the promised land where the 12 stones in the river represents Christ that endured the judgment so you and I could enter more than a promised land, so we could enter into heaven itself. Now, there are many other Ebenezers which we can think of in the scriptures. Now, for instance, baptism itself is a memorial, is an Ebenezer stone. That was a highlight in our personal experience when we were baptized. We read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Well, let's read verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk, we also rather, should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, that old sinful nature, within us all, it did not leave us when we were saved. It's still there. Knowing this, that old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. Now let's think of this, if you will, a little, please. We died with Christ on that cross. We hear that the gospel as being Christ died for our sins. Well, that's all right. He did die for our sins. Thank God for that. Those sins that would keep us out of heaven. But the sins were the fruit. But that old evil nature, that old man, is the root. He's the one that produced the sins. Now, in the reckoning of God, when Christ was put on that cross, we died with him. But the judgment fell on Christ. Now, that could be likened to those stones down in the river. There's a part of us that God does not want to see, nor does not want man to see, after we're saved, that old nature rising up. That could also be typified by the stones on the bottom of the Jordan. But that monument on the west side of Jordan, God wanted everybody to see that. And you know that he wants everybody to see your life and my life in Christ. He wants to have the world see us, and we are a testimony. The world is watching us, and the world indeed is trying us out. We're a testimony, whether we realize it or not. The world is looking at us, and God says, I want you to live for Christ and show the world what it means to be in Christ. And that is a monument itself. There are other monuments that you and I know. There's baptism. Well, we've mentioned baptism. Our Ebenezer is marriage and the wedding ring. God is the creator of marriage. We read in the scripture, for instance, Proverbs 18 and 22, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. God provides the wife. He provided Eve for Adam. And he provides your wife and my wife and our husbands and our... marriages are made in heaven. They really are. The scripture says, and the Lord Jesus quoted it, what God has put together, let not man put asunder. And that wedding ring, when we look at that, that's a monument. That's a reminder. It's a memorial. We are one in Christ. And that circle speaks of eternity. The wedding ring is a beautiful Ebenezer stone to raise up and to display. And it was erected when we were saved. Finally, the last monument that we will have anything to do with takes place in the cemetery. But it only marks out our grave. But it does help people. When we are gone and off this scene, it helps people to realize that we are here. And may God cause those memories to be sweet. Our Father, we do pray today in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will bless your word to our hearts, that we might count our Ebenezers and praise God that he is the God of goodness. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.